Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
For All Mankind, Season 4 is over, but we are just getting started here on Post-Show Recaps. That's right, it's full spoiler recaps, where we're binging a new season of a show every week and chatting about it in full spoilery detail in just one podcast. I'm Jess Sterling. Today, we are discussing For All Mankind, Season 4. And of course, I am joined here by my fellow astronaut. Hi, Bob. Hi, Grace Leader.
I put the ass in astronaut. That's, I don't know what that means, but I just thought of it, so I said it, which I don't know if I should have said, but, you know, here we are.
Too late now.
Mm-hmm. For All Mankind. Yeah, I watched a lot of For All Mankind the last week.
But, yeah, because you hadn't, last we talked, you had only seen the first two seasons, right?
Yep. I fell off of it for, I think, many similar reasons for why many other people do. Yep. The thing is, I kind of fell back in love with the show as I was watching. I actually even think season three was good. So here we are.
Whoa. Yeah. All right. Yeah, of course, here we're mostly just talking season four, but obviously we have to give some context for the rest of the show. But yeah, this was one that was airing weekly, and I have been watching it over the past, I'd say, week and a half, 2 weeks. I've caught up on I had seen seasons one through three, so I was just catching up on season four. And it was really interesting. It's like very heavy Mars content, a lot of Mars chats happening. We have a nearly dead Ed. When will he die? Probably never.
Never. We're gonna always have Ed Baldwin on For All Mankind. Yeah. I think
there were jokes in our Pusher Recaps patron Discord about him being them eventually just turning him into a robot so he can just exist forever.
That's good. I like that.
I hate that.
We're not quite into like full AI, but I guess science is advanced because of space tech. So I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But of course that's what we're talking about. But Grace, do you want to lead us off with a quick plot recap of what happened in season four, and then we'll chat in full spoilery detail?
Yeah, so season four begins in 2003, each season giving us, since season one, a bit of a time jump. Margot now lives in Soviet Union and consults on Russian space activities. Ed has decided he's going to stay in space on Mars, despite pleas from his daughter Kelly to come home and be with his grandson. Aleda is working in mission control, but struggles with PTSD from the Johnson Space Center bombing. And we meet a new character, Miles Davis, who applies to work on the moon, but the wait time forced him to choose a job on Mars instead, where the terms are longer. He can stay there for a couple of years. And Danielle Poole is asked to return to Mars as mission commander. While in Russia, Margot noticed some changes in access to things like news and her phone as the government is potentially crumbling. Miles begins working for a black market and quote-unquote underground bar on Mars, and he finds himself quite good at it and makes himself a good amount of money to send home to his wife. Kelly gets her funding cut and starts to work with Aleda. They try to go to Dev, the CEO of Helios, for help, and while he's initially reluctant, he ultimately sees how it could benefit him too and agrees to work with them. Margot is captured and tortured after trying to stop police officers from beating up a protester. Svetlana injures another technician and is forced to be sent back to Russia for trial. And many on the ship try to prevent it from happening. She's ultimately sent to India, where there is no, what's the term? Where you can't
extradition laws.
Extradition laws. Tensions rise among the workers on the Mars colony. But they discover an asteroid known as Goldilocks that contains iridium, an extremely rare metal that is controlled mostly by Russia on Earth. They control most of the supply of it. The governments get together on this Mars 7 mission, or M7. These seven countries are going to work together and decide to try to capture it to bring it back to Earth. Aleda advocates that the iridium could while the mission would cost them about $2 trillion, it could bring in as much as $20 trillion in profit. The Dev decides to head to Mars, leaving Aleda to run Helios, and he brings Kelly along with him as she's going to try to explore life on Mars, alien life. And she also brings her son. A bit of attention, as often she tries to leave him in supervising babysitting duty from Ed, who struggles to be a human being, basically.
Yeah.
He mostly has time to do this because a crew member notices that Ed has a tremor and Danielle pulls him from all space missions. So he's sort of officially retired, but still living on Mars. There is this very sweet scene where Ed talks to and sort of reveals to Kelly why he's always so hesitant to return home, and they sort of embrace. She tries to get information as he seems to be secretly working on something with Dev. Ed was sort of leading this like strike initiative and Dev shuts it down. And when Ed is frustrated that Dev shut it down, Dev reveals he actually has like another plan, and he actually wants to work with Ed to steal the asteroid. And we basically go full Ocean's 11 in space. Meanwhile, Sergey and Margot, Sergey being the Russian Russian astronaut, astrophysicist from previous seasons, and they've basically completely swapped places. Sergey now lives in the United States while Margot lives in Russia, and they are able to see each other for a time. But unfortunately, this kind of ends in tragedy when Sergey is assassinated. This leads Aleda, who goes and actually discovers that Sergey has been killed, leads Aleda to try to work with Margot to basically as the heist is sort of being discovered by people who work for NASA. We haven't even talked about Daniel Stern on the show. There's all these groups who are trying to then figure out how to it's like kind of ongoing throughout the last like two to three episodes trying to make sure that either it's very sciencey, where like they need to burn the asteroid, like the jets. To get it to like to orbit back to Earth, where they can like start moving it back to Earth. But the heist mission is to like basically set the burners on for way longer, so that it like will just basically, I think the idea here is to orbit Mars so that Mars funding and research will not be cut. The idea being,
that's correct,
if they send the asteroid back to Earth, then that's all they'll be focused on. They'll only put money into that. But if it's continually orbiting Earth, and that's where like the mine has to be located, is on an asteroid orbiting Earth, then they'll keep funding Mars missions as well, right, like the one that Kelly is. So we have these two sides. Ultimately, Aleda and Margot like sort of sabotage the failsafe for the burn. And Aleda initially is caught, but Margot gives herself up. And then her like evil Russian boss is actually arrested anyway because the whole mission failed and Russia's not going to really make any money from this happening. So all of that, Ed and Dev obviously do it. There's a riot on the ship as people are upset that the burn happened. Yeah. I know. And there's
it's just insane that we're having like strikes. It's like the meta-ness of it all is very to me.
So there's a riot, and in the midst of it, there's this like Chekhov's gun from the South Koreans from last season. Daniel ends up getting shot. She doesn't die. She ends up living.
Thank gosh. Yeah. I thought she was a goner.
Yeah, she's gonna head back to Earth and be with her kids. And basically at the end of the season, we time jump to 2012, I believe. So we jump into to time again, where there's a full mine on the asteroid and Mars colony is continued
to be developed. Yeah. It looks like there's water in a crater on Mars.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
So a lot of Russian shenanigans, a heist, all sorts of stuff happened.
This season had almost everything.
From Saturday Night Live. This season had everything. It did. An Ocean's 11 heist.
It did. It had a strike. Yeah. It had Ed Baldwin still alive and scaring
an assassination
his grandchild.
Suicide.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This was a wild season. I truly feel like I don't know that the show will ever really, really reach the high highs of like seasons 1 and 2.
No, they are high. They're way high. I guess they're not higher. They're in Mars or the asteroid. They're higher than they've ever been.
Yeah. Higher than Ed. I mean, Ed was pretty high this season in his little secret garden.
Yeah, secret marijuana garden.
But but I don't think I'll ever reach those highs. However, I do think this was better than season 3. I enjoyed this season much more because we didn't have the two knucklehead brothers on this season ruining things. They instead trashed the one brother's character and killed him off swiftly. So not much of a care there. I think my biggest issue with, I don't know if it's a larger issue with the show or just with the season, is I wish they invested time in certain characters more. I felt like they didn't have an equal division of labor. Mars has issues. I have issues with division of labor. I felt like we spent way too much time with Ed, who's never been a very good character or like a likable character, I guess is what I should say. He's very selfish, very self-interested. I wish we spent a lot of season 3 building up Kelly. And then I felt like she really was underutilized this season. Danny, we pulled Danny out of retirement to throw her on Mars to deal with Ed again. And then I felt like they really dropped the ball for her as a character, Grace. Like why she wasn't, it's like she turned into like the man where she didn't care about the little guys anymore. And that just felt out of character for me.
Yeah. Not going to lose me by having like lesbian president storyline from season 3. So obviously I love that. Even though it's a bit silly, but it's fine. That's going to sound like I said like a lesbian president. How silly. But I think for me, season 4, I agree with like the, is it Danny and what's his brother? What's the other, what's Gordo's?
Oh, the one that got arrested?
Yeah, the one who, it doesn't matter.
Danny and who knows, Jimmy?
Jimmy? Yeah, Danny and Jimmy. It's fun. I think, I loved the Russia stuff this season and I really thought I was not going to like it, but I thought it was pretty this like role reversal for Sergei and Margot, how Margot in an effort to save Sergei's life ends up, she basically takes his place and has to live in Russia, as they're basically doing this, like, this is basically the time of like, without Putin, this is basically Putin's Russia, what it's becoming, right? And so that's what they're trying to tell us. And I thought that was done. Probably my favorite storyline of the season was all the Margot, even though it's very sad that Sergei dies. I thought that was like, that sucks.
It was the most affecting, right? Because Margot is a character that like we've grown to know and love over these seasons. And then Aleda, I immediately fell in love with Aleda when she became a character on the show. And so getting... Yeah. to see them reuniting and her just, it was probably the time that I felt the most emotional in the series was Sergei's death and when Aleda hugged Margot and was like, oh my gosh, I'm so happy you're alive, right? Like, I just felt, and then again, when she hugged her when Margo was getting arrested, it felt like a very full circle storyline, which I appreciated, right? It felt like we were putting, I don't know that those characters are going away. I still think we'll see Elaida. We may not see Margo again, but definitely I think Elaida's here to stay. Just given the time jumps and Margo's age and all of that. Mm-hmm. But I really liked the ending to that storyline. And that's why I feel like the reason it was so impactful was because they felt they spent time investing us in the characters of Margo, Sergei, and Elaida. And so I cared about what happened to them. Same thing with Dani. I didn't want her to die. I really cared that she lived and got to see her grandchild and was going to teach them all about Star Trek. I really cared about those storylines, you know?
I think that where I make the distinction between what has been really effective and what has not been so effective on this show is I do feel like I know that they're in space and there are like these like obviously like there are stakes from being like how dangerous space can be. But I just feel like when I look at the lot of stuff that like Ed and Dev were involved in, it didn't feel quite maybe as like, yeah, they're trying to get that and like they'll have consequences for them. But I almost feel like being arrested and being removed is like not as, you know, Margo's literally worried about whether she's going to be assassinated or mm-hmm. not and like killed and just like disappeared off the planet and is trying to like prove her worth. And then Elaida like being so mad that Margo is alive. She's like, I thought she died in the bombing. Turns out she got like whisked off to Russia and she gave them all of our secrets. And I do feel like the difference between Elaida and Danny's character this season is you get these moments where that Elaida is able to come around on Margo and realize like why she did the thing. She was basically like in love with Sergei, tries to like give him the secret so that his program does not fail. And he is then not like killed for it is essentially. And right. then all of that is like, she broke American law and is like whisked off to Russia to like, you know, to in exile for her own safety, even though now that safety is like questionable at best. And Elaida gets, there's this character development of Elaida that I thought was really true to how you would feel of like, oh my God, like she lied to me and she doesn't know that she did it for Sergei. And we get all that as opposed to like the stuff with Dani is like, yeah, she goes back up and it's basically just like years and years of her frustration with Ed, but kind of feels like neither of them ever come to, you know, like, and the weird thing about the heist is that I felt like it was so celebrated as like, we did it. And I'm like, I don't really like most people on the side. I'm not rooting for Dev. I'm not rooting for Ed, really. I'm not.
No.
I feel like he's tragic, but I want him to just like fix his like relationships rather than
go
like,
to therapy.
Yeah,
and he would rather send his grandchild into a vent to retrieve an item and like put jeopardize so many lives than go to therapy, Ed.
And then. And like Miles, I thought was like,
snooze. Can we be honest?
Miles, I thought it got better, but
and like I wanted to care about him. I wanted to care about him and his wife and his children and his situation. However,
Miles Davis, but his character is Miles Dale. Miles Davis is the American jazz trumpeter who's quoted in Billy Madison of like. Peeing your pants is cool. Consider me Miles Davis. So apologies. It's Miles Dale.
Miles Dale. I was immediately against him when he was like inserts himself into like the illegal like alcohol biz. Right. I forget the character's name. If you remember it, please remind me.
The Russian. The guy,
who owns the like little backlit bar. You know, you got your little speakeasy situation on Mars. And Miles is like, this is mine now. And just like inserts himself in. And I was like, the audacity of you as a human being to take this man's job. You're new. Who are you? I did not care about Miles. And on top of that, he was just so boring. Like he was a snooze fest. If you're going to introduce a new character that I'm supposed to care about, make him interesting at least.
Yeah. I thought that the stuff where he's like, okay, there's this rock and my wife figured out how to sell it. And like, I thought that some of that stuff was really interesting. Like, I think if the idea of like space travel is, you know, it's funny. The premise of the show is basically because America doesn't get there first, it like spurns them and they're so committed to like being better at space. Like, yeah, in the long run, they have to prove
I'm the best at space.
Basically, that's what it is, right? Which is pretty funny. But yeah, like, okay, then like, yeah, if we do colonize Mars and there's a colony on Mars, like, what happens to people who are there for like two, three years, right? Like, Miles gets this term where it's like, you can go to the moon, but there's a huge wait time because, like, it's like takes a day to get to the moon. It takes a lot longer to get to Mars. And so he goes there, and I thought this, like, I actually do think the like black market thing and like the bar was kind of fun. You know, when Ed first goes down and he's like, you know, you're not doing it properly, basically, because he knows, because he's got his own like marijuana stash or whatever.
Like, Ed is ridiculous. Like, the fact that Ed leads the revolution all because he's ticked off at Dani for literally doing her job and protecting the people of Mars against his hand tremor while he's a pilot is ridiculous. Shame on you, Ed. For shame. He acts like he's so high and mighty towards Dani about like, give the people what they want. When I'm with the people, okay? You should strike. Form a union.
Yeah,
strike.
Sure.
But Ed is such a, he's such a hypocrite. Because he called them like little snowflakes like an episode ago. You know? Yeah. He's such a hypocrite. He's so impossible to root for. But I agree, like, the Mars stuff is very fascinating. My problem was like, I was very, I mean, living in the current, you know, 2024 timeline that we live in now, I wanted to know more about the existence of life on Mars, which is what Kelly's storyline was about, right? That's her entire thing, is she's researching life on this planet and can we have water and the existence of all this other stuff. And it felt like there was almost no time spent on that. And I was really frustrated because all of Kelly's storyline was solely linked to Ed and her relationship to Ed and his relationship with Alex. And that was where I got frustrated, because I was way more interested in what she had going on. And I felt like they didn't give us enough time with that.
Yeah. I mean, I do like the Ed refusing to come home and being sort of enamored with like, continuing to do the one thing he's basically been successful at, I thought is interesting. It's hard because this show, they've decided to use the trick of like, we fast forward in time. And I don't hate it, but I also think, you know, this is the challenge of these shows where it's like, okay, well, if you're going to do an anthology show, basically, like, yeah, what are you going to do when, like, you know, now you don't get whoever on your show anymore. And so Joel Kinnaman has been the one person that they've really, I mean, Danny's been there since season one and Margo has been there. Is there anybody, probably somebody else I'm missing, but these are basically.
Yeah. Those are kind of all the beginning people. I'm trying to think if there's anybody else even on the show anymore that is from this season. I don't think so.
Basically only think we'll see Dani and not even really next season. I bet. Like,
I mean, I think we're going to get more Kelly and Alex. Oh, you mean, sorry, Kelly's of the OGs. You mean of the OGs.
Yeah, I guess Kelly's been there since the end of season one, right? Like after
the death. Dies. It may have been season two, but yeah, it was after Shane dies. But yeah, I agree.
This
like
is the trick of the show, right? It's like, not the trick, but like, this is the hand they've been forced into, which is like, Joel Kinnaman is like, he started a movie not too long ago. I mean, I don't know how successful it was, but like, you know, he's trying to make it as a movie star, and they have him as basically the star of this show. I think he's the most famous actor on this show. And so what are you going to do when you're like, if fast forwarding through time, you know, they're not going to, you know, some of these people they're going to keep around. I think the Margo stuff was honestly the best, but I get why they're trying to keep Joel Kinnaman around and why his story is so centered on him.
I get it. I get it. But at the same point in time, then give him a better character arc. I think like, I enjoyed the fact that he did have that heart to heart with Kelly, but that was about it. Like, in terms of the actual growth of the character, like, him and Dani couldn't even sort out their stuff. And that was because in part they like trashed Dani too. I just felt like, where is the Dani from the, hey Bob, hi Bob, like days, you know? And I know people change, but it was really tough to watch her like be so unaware of what was going on with the people on Mars. And I know she had like a huge job, obviously, and she's dealing with a lot, but it just felt like she refused to see what was right in front of her in terms of all these people very unsatisfied and unhappy, which is also kind of funny considering Miles's storyline and a lot of others in his situation on Mars. Is like, it's almost like they were fed the American dream and then they got there and were like, suckas. Psych. That's not it. So it is kind of silly. It's like the Martian dream or whatever.
Martian dream. Yeah.
Martian dream. Yeah.
The Martian dream.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky?
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Yeah, I mean, I feel that about Danny. I don't know that Danny has ever been, like, my favorite. I mean, I really loved Ellen, so hard for me not to, you know, like, and Margot. Danny's good. I don't know what else I would have done. And just like, I can't think right now. I would have watched too much For All Mankind. Of like, what would he have done? Because I'm coming this from basically binging immediately season 3 and then season 4.
Right.
I thought the stuff where Margot wants Danny to go and Molly wants Ed to go, I liked that stuff about who would lead that first mission and who would go. And so then 10 years later to like send her back basically because it's been like all like, maybe there could have been more about like what she was sacrificing and why she basically needed everything to go as like as planned and as ordered, because you know she wants to just live this, and a lot of like basically what Ed puts himself at risk of doing is, you know, being going to jail for like stealing, you know, the asteroid, which obviously doesn't seem to happen, like seemingly we don't know, I guess we've jumped forward in time, but like feels like what they did was so illegal that like, and why wouldn't they figure out how to reorbit it back to Earth? Like
they should all be fired and like people are going to get rehired and that's those, but then Dev is up there, right? Like that's the jump forward. We see him standing on Mars by the crater filled with water. Yeah, so apparently he's still there. What I will say, I feel like I've complained a little bit too much because I did enjoy the season. That's what I'm saying. Like I did enjoy it more than season 3, not as much as 1 and 2, but I felt like they did certain things right. And one of the things that I felt like they did a really good job with was giving us a villain that we could despise in the KGB / Roscosmos leader, who basically takes Margot under her wing only to find out that, yeah, she was the one who ruined Sergei and Margot's life. I'm blanking on her name. Do you have her name, Grace?
I'll try to pull it up here, but I don't have it off the top of my head.
Yeah, there were so many
handler.
Names.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was truly awful. Like, awful, awful, and very easy to root against, I found. So I liked that we had a villain. I also felt like the leader of NASA, who's new to this season,
Daniel Stern. This is
yeah, Marv.
Yeah.
Marv from Home Alone.
Home Alone. Yeah.
He was more of just like, I felt like, blissfully ignorant of like most of what was going on. So while he is sort of a villain, I felt like the Soviet Union, Roscosmos leader, was way more villainous for me. And I loved to hate her this season.
Yeah. I'm still trying to find her name. Yeah. I thought Daniel Cern, who's been in he was in something recently that I thought he was very, he's in Shrill. He's the dad in Shrill. I don't know if you watch Shrill, but that's the, A.D. Bryant show.
Oh no, I've not seen it, but based, I know. Oh, wait, you know what? I've seen a little bit of it. Yes. Yeah. I don't think I ever finished it.
Very good. He's the dad in that. And he's very good in that. So I kind of look like he's so typecast to me as like, yeah, as Marv. My friends and I also have, you know, the scene where he gets electrocuted in Home Alone 2.
Yes.
We have a running gag about Spooky Marv, which is just the skeleton version of Marv. It often shows up in our D&D games as Spooky Marv. I think he's very good actually. So I was quite happy. I thought he played this role very well, but yeah, I agree. Is it Arena?
Arena. I was going to say it. Yes. Arena is the woman's name. Apologies, I'm so terrible with names. Arena is the KGB / Roscosmos leader.
Yeah, I think what worked so effectively in terms of that story, like that story is just like the most well-rounded of any story that we got this season in terms of, you know, full like huge stakes, a protagonist, somebody that I'm interested to you. Like, I wondered whether people, you know, wouldn't like Margot. And I'm a big Margot fan. Is like, I feel like the person who's more intellect than like, that's rooting more for Margot ever than I am Ed, you know? Which I don't think would be a surprise for me to hear you say, like, yeah, I like Margot, but.
Yeah, I love Margot. I've never gotten the vibe that people dislike her. I think it's kind of impossible to not be understandable with her situation, right? Like, she's being blackmailed and this man that she loves, his entire life is in jeopardy. Like, what is she supposed to do? And when the bombing happens and that's how they get her out of there, again, what is she supposed to do? It's her life. And I feel like you have to give a certain amount of sympathy to a woman who spent a decade, 8 years, off in Russia, where her home is America. She that's where she lived. You know,
she's not a Canadian to me. That's what she tells when she gets arrested. She's like, I'm actually Canadian.
Yeah,
America. Yeah,
yeah. She's like been forced to live there, learn the language, basically. Like, doesn't seem to have a huge social life. I one of my favorite tiny moments of the season is when she's in Texas, right? She's in Texas. And she gets room service and she just gets a big old beefy burger.
Isn't that when Sergey's eating the burger? He's eating a
burger.
Yeah,
he's eating McDonald's.
American life. Yeah,
yeah, he's eating McDonald's and she's eating her burger. We get like a couple scenes of Margot actually enjoying a burger, which I enjoy a burger. So I enjoyed watching her enjoy a burger.
Yeah.
But the way that she just like melted into that burger when you know she's been living in Russia, which like I don't know about Russian burgers, but like I don't think they're the same as American Texas burgers.
And they were
going
to go to Brazil and live their life together and help Brazil. Space juggernaut. So
I was so devastated when Sergey died because all I wanted was Margot and Sergey together.
Yeah, I don't like it. But you know, Arena basically is like out of a job by the end of it, seemingly. She's like,
she's arrested.
She's failed.
Oh, sorry, not Arena. No. Sorry, Margot was arrested.
Margot's arrested, but Arena, her office is being ransacked, and then the implications that she's been fired because
good.
She can bring the asteroid back to Earth. So you know.
So no money for them.
Yeah.
But should we get into some of our superlatives?
Let's do it.
So this season, best scene. If you don't have one off the top of your head, I can go first.
I have one. I know I wish there was more Kelly content in the season, but I do really like when Ed is like, this is why I basically wouldn't come home. Like, you know, basically it's his first therapy session. And I know it's with his daughter and that shouldn't be how it works, but I do think that's like a powerful story of like this thing of like, why didn't you come home? And it's like, I'm scared of being a good dad. I just thought like the more I was there, and as somebody who had to work on a lot of therapy to like not withdraw from things, my therapist would always we'd talk about like stop putting things in the box because eventually the box overflows and you have to deal with it and it's too hard to deal with. Like, that's me for a long time. So, yeah. The idea
if I
of
just
like,
put this over here, we don't have to deal
if
with
I just
it
go now. To Mars, I just can, I can smoke weed and it'll be fine.
But like, everything is gray in Mars and like super depressing. True. Can they get some paint up there, please? It's so sad looking.
Yeah. So think that's my favorite scene, but
I did. I'm going to give an honorable mention to literally any time that Kelly sassed Ed as being my favorite scene. But my real favorite scene was the reuniting of Margot and Alita. I love when like Alita's like, excuse me, and Margot turns around and then she like without a second just hugs her. You felt all of that time they invested in building up those two characters, especially together. So I really loved that moment. And I think it really worked for me, especially because then once Alita has had a second, she's like, wait a minute, I'm mad at you. You know, like that tracked. That made sense to me. So that is my best scene for this season.
Yeah. I thought the season was pretty good. But I'm struggling to like think of, it's so hard. We binge them to be like, that scene happened.
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of them. Uh-huh. Best character. Who do you have on your list for best character?
I think it's Margot for me. I don't think anybody's better than Margot. I think. Yeah. She had the best story this season too.
Usually I like to like change it up and choose someone different. Possibly would have chosen Kelly if she got more to do. But Margot was just like MVP for me. Every scene I was riveted. I was always wanting to know what was going to happen to Margot. Is Margot going to be okay? So definitely Margot for me.
Yeah.
And then we have worst character. I don't know. Like the thing is, I could choose someone who I was just so meh on. Is it worse to not have a feeling at all about someone? Or is it worse to actively hate someone?
No.
I guess it's probably worse to hate someone.
Well, it depends on whether the show wants you to hate that person or not. Like if you hate them, then
you know what? Good point, Grace. I'm going to say the show actively wants me to love Ed Baldwin and I simply do not. I cannot stand this man. I have not been able to stand him for, I don't know, about 4 seasons, I'd say. I'm just sick and tired of his nonsense. I hated the moment that poor little baby Alex was like, please, please no Gramps, Poppy. I don't want any grated American cheese on my pasta. Please no. And Ed was like, here, put some hair on your chest. Rah! And he like puts a bunch. It's like, leave the kid alone. Leave him alone.
I guess I would disagree that I think the show does want you to love Ed. I think that he's supposed to be a man from like the 60s. Like he's an older man now.
I think you're supposed to like, love him as like the way you love like an older grandpa or something. But like
he's really, his grandchild says, I'm afraid of you. I don't know whether they're
trying to. You look like a bear.
Yeah, I don't know if they're trying to tell us to like Ed this season. Fair. I honestly don't.
I still hate him, so he's
no fair. I just think the Miles stuff, I think it got better as it went along. I love the like Seth Green by being like, you can smuggle anything. Could you bring my wife up here? They're like,
that was so good.
That's tough, man.
And he did.
Yeah.
He did.
Yeah. I think Miles to me is like, I think the story could have been much better with somebody who has a little bit more of an edge or personality to them, I guess is my sense. Yeah.
It's very fair. Best death. There are a couple deaths. I mean, we start off the season with like people just, we lose Kuz, is that what they call him? He is the Russian astronaut who was the first to get to Mars with Danny.
Yeah, they're trying to do this. They're trying to get the asteroid, right? Like,
and the prongs aren't sturdy enough thanks to a screw up on the conversions in the Soviet Union. Mm-hmm. And so he ends up like basically saying, Ed, don't try to rescue me. Like, it's going to fail. Let me die here. Yeah. Gosh, best of, because we also have Sergei dies, but I feel like the way that Kuz goes out is much more like obviously interesting.
I think nothing is more impactful than the Sergei death. So if I'm talking, you know, best is so, you know, tough.
Best is hard. How do you,
because I'm not happy he died, but it's like, certainly I'm the most like, no, like, you know, my TV is not the most effective. It's the best death, I think.
Yeah. Okay. You could choose Sergei. I'll choose Kuz just because I thought that it was, I liked the starting the season with like, whoa, okay, here we go. And it felt like it jump-started the season in a way and also was very impactful given that Kuz was so important at the end of season 3. So I'll go with, I think it's Kuz. I hope I'm hope that's right.
I think we haven't really talked about is the Svetlana storyline, which I actually really liked too. I thought that it was a good way of mixing, like, so there's this tension as like people are feeling that Russia is becoming like a dictatorship, and it's like, okay, you have to send her back, and that's what the treaty says. And like, I thought that the Daniel Stern stuff of him playing Eli, is it Eli Robson, I think is his name in the show, Hobson, and he's like, well, like, maybe we don't have to send her back. He's like, are you, he's like, well, now you have a different leader. He's like, well, when the new president gets elected, are all the old laws like not, look, I just thought that stuff as like somebody who really likes political stuff. Like I listen to a lot of politics podcasts. I thought that stuff to me was interesting about like extradition and like, you know, bringing her back. She'd stand trial and like the treat. And I know that sounds boring, but it's like, I thought it was,
no, good, but it was interesting all over like a push, right? Like, yeah, she shoved him.
And Ed's like, oh, but she's actually good at her job, so we should keep her. And I liked that the people go to Danielle and Danny and are like, but like, she actually like did something, like that guy like could have died, you know? And so it's like, she probably should be punished more than she has it. So I thought that stuff was good. So yeah.
Yeah, it was interesting. I would say it's not my favorite. I'm not as much into the political stuff. But it was interesting certainly to see like who's gonna fall on what side, and then of course Danny calling out Ed for being like, you just like that girl, stop it.
Yeah.
And then of course we have our superlative. Grace, what do you have in mind for your superlative for this show?
Most likely to try to make me get my hands on some iridium. Sounds like that stuff's worth a lot of money.
Goldilocks. I love the silly name for the asteroid. I thought that was really funny.
Goldilocks is good. Yeah.
I think mine is a show that makes me most afraid of space.
Oh.
Because like so many bad things happen up there.
You should watch The Curse.
Will that make me like space more?
No.
Oh, okay. I didn't think so.
No.
Dr. Amanda loves The Curse, so I had to imagine it disparages space on the daily.
Yeah. Most show that Dr. Amanda probably won't watch.
Amanda won't watch.
This one is interesting because I feel like, you know, the quality of the shit, like reading the recap and you're like, so then there's a riot on space and then they're going to heist an asteroid. And it's like, it was so trying to be prestige TV, and it's probably, you know, it's for all mechanics, like it's didn't look like it was like number one on the list. I know they dropped,
but people the like it, like it's gonna get really renewed. And from what I've heard, because in my mind, right, we end the season in like 2013 or something, right?
2012, I think.
2012. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, are they gonna go ahead of real life?
Yeah, because six seasons,
from what I read, the creators want to make 6 or 7 seasons. So we're gonna zoom past where we are right now. I can't wait to see what my future's gonna be like.
The one thing is I can, you know, I was only, so in 2003, I was, how old was I? Like 13 or something. No, less than that. 11.
12.
Math is hard. You know, I do feel like the dev stuff from season 3, and that's even earlier than that, felt so like, we got to do some stuff on Elon Musk. Like, we got to do Elon Musk stuff.
Yeah.
And so I kind of like almost want them to get to present day so that they can
stop
just be like,
doing that.
So the references can feel much more like the stuff they're trying to comment on.
Yeah, it's fair.
It's like relevant to today. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I guess that's fair. I just was like, they're going to just zoom on by. Okay, all right. Yeah, because we end in 2012 and I'm like, okay. Yeah. So I expect to see all the Razer phones out next season.
A big week also, it's the finale. Obviously the finale aired, on January 12th. Something? And then there's a movie called ISS, International Space Station, that's about, I believe, Russia and America.
People love space.
It's like there's a war on Earth, and then it's all the people who are currently on the International Space Station. So that movie comes out, I think, this Friday. So,
oh, jeez.
Yeah. Space. Yeah.
I would say, like, just to get, like, I mean, a temperature check, did watching these two seasons reinvigorate your like of For All Mankind? Like, are you excited for a potential season 5?
Yeah, it's very funny because I think that reading it out, I was like, oh, maybe I should be embarrassed that I like this show, but I did really, I did really like it, and I found myself pretty ingrained. The only thing I would say is like, the way I feel like it's trying to be so prestige is like the finales are always like about an hour and 20.
It was so long.
But sometimes even the episodes are like 106, and I'm like, yeah, I think they could probably be trimmed a little bit, but you know, it was not, I had way less of a slog getting through this than I did Julia. And I know that that's probably sounds so mean to one Julia child, but I just did. I felt like at least this stuff had like, I felt like momentum.
It was and gripping like, at times.
And I think the acting is so good. And so, yeah, I quite enjoyed it. And the stuff, you know, I gotta say, it came back. I was like, I gave up on the show for basically because they did the stupid Danny, what's her name storyline? Karen.
Yeah.
I basically was like, yeah, I don't know. And then, cause then they did it. And then they're like, what if we double down on it? I was like, stop, please. And I returned to the show and they kill all those characters off. So
yeah, good
you
job.
Gotta give the show some credit.
Well, why couldn't they have redeemed Danny and gotten rid of Ed? I know meta wise they couldn't, but like
Joel Kinnaman's got to be on the show.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But yeah, I would say I liked watching season 4. I definitely liked it more than season 3. I would watch a season 5. However, I don't think I would watch week to week. I probably would just wait for a bunch of episodes to build up and then watch them. Like I don't think I am like that invested where I would be like needing to watch week to week.
It's really tough too, yeah. Because I would say this, I joke all the time, and I think Shannon even said it one time, if we were watching The Crown, and she's like, Grace, I think we're watching the show wrong. Mm-hmm. And it's hard for me to gauge whether or not the show works week to week, having basically only ever binged it, because like it's like the cliffhangers. Like sometimes I did watch a couple, but I very much felt like the show is pretty full to the point that like just to process it to a degree, knowing I'd be talking about it, I did not so much season 3, but more so season 4. I was making sure that I wasn't like, oh, I'm gonna watch 3 episodes back to back to back. You know, I was trying to space them out a little bit. And cause that's, I said space. Mm-hmm, and, but yeah, it's hard because like, I would have to go back and think about like whether the cliffhangers would have worked to be like, oh my God, I need to like know what happens next or not, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was good enough to catch my interest, I guess.
The thing that's interesting is the show might be the most frustrating show that I enjoy watching. Like I'm so frustrated by so many people.
Yeah.
I'm like, why would you do that? Why don't do that? Why are we doing that? But I do like it. I think the show is very good. So yeah, I don't know.
We have to, as always, tier rank the theme song. This one is pretty standard. It's the same for all 4 seasons. It's just, you know, very musical, right? There's no instrumentals, I should say. Of course it's musical. Mm-hmm. Durr. Mm-hmm. It's instrumental. I don't care. It's fine. It feels appropriate for what the show is about. It feels spacey.
I think it's pretty good. I think it's
you like it more than I do.
Yeah, I feel like it's okay. This is gonna sound really weird, but it's so good. It's so fitting. It so matches the show that you get. I think you get lulled into it a little. Like I think that like I can see.
Oh, okay,
why people
I see. I don't. Yeah. Okay. I understand what you mean. It's not offensive to me. So it's not like when it starts playing, I'm scrambling to grab the remote to click skip. Yeah. It is more of the like, I guess I'll let you play.
I think I only skipped it once, and weirdly it was for the finale, but I was watching it yesterday and was like,
oh, like I don't have time for this extra minute when there's
it's
an hour
20. I know. So I skipped the intro, so but I don't skip it.
Where are you pitching it should fall? Because to remind people, we have unskippable, pretty good, memorable, fine.
Memorable. It's memorable. It fits. It's good.
Oh, that's where you want it.
But it's also like meh. Yeah, that's where I want it. Yeah.
I think, I would put it at the top of memorable.
I would agree.
Okay, there we go. Yeah. Let's put it there then.
I think it's fine. It's the definition of memorable, I think.
It is. It kind of is. It's kind of like, it's meh, but like, I know what it is. I would recognize it if I heard it. And I won't like jump and leap to my remote to skip past it like I would with like a, what the heck is that jail show that was on Netflix? Why has my brain stopped working?
Prison Break? Wait, what?
The all-female
Orange
cast.
Is the New Black.
Thank you. The way I would leap to jump past that theme song.
I don't remember it, but I do remember it.
Animal. The animal.
The
cage is full. The cage is full.
There's
so
many
bad.
Songs. Yeah, there's like I don't really know the lyrics. Like, so I'm just like, if I repeat it, like, the animal that's simple to the cage is full. Yeah, it's very good. What was I gonna say? I was gonna say something about
who
this.
Knows?
That's okay. I forgot. Doesn't matter.
I mean, I think anyone and everyone will agree with us on that.
I think a good a sign of a good theme song, and it does not like intro credits, and it's not like, okay, this, if it has this thing, it's immediately good. But I was like, oh yeah, what do these symbols mean? And I went and looked, and there's the one of like the two faces that are like opposed, mm-hmm. which is the sign for a god named Janus, who I almost wanted to do the last.
Named Janus?
J-A-N-U-S. So Janus.
Oh my god.
I'm a god. Which is the god of like new beginnings and new and like, oh, so it's like, it's clearly used in the, in that to be like, we're exploring, you know, new.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, and then I was redditing, and then there's just like, oh, what do all the signs mean? The symbols mean in the opening, which I think it, I also really, cool. Yeah, no, I do like that. And again, it doesn't mean it's like, oh my god, this is amazing. But I feel like when you have something to like dig into, and when there's so much thought put into it that you almost don't realize it is, I feel like that's really good.
Yeah.
So, oh, that's pretty good. My yeah. God.
Oh my god. God. yeah. So that's where we related in the memorable. So the top of the memorable tier. Next week we're gonna be talking about a show that I feel like so many people love, but like it just never passed my radar, your radar until recently, I guess. Slow Horses, yeah. Season 3 on Apple TV Plus.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe because it's like, I think it might be an Apple TV, but also a BBC. Am I
it's British. Wrong? It is British. I don't know if that means it's BBC.
No, it's not. It's not. I just assumed every British show is also made by the BBC. It's a co-production.
But for those who don't know anything about it, it is a spy thriller show. It's based on Slow House, which is a series of novels by Mike Herron. It's Apple TV Plus, and it's I've watched like two episodes now. It's very thriller-esque, but like I feel like the main draw would be Gary Oldman. Gary Oldman stars in it. So if you like Gary Oldman, it is only 18 episodes that you'd have to watch. They're about between like 40 to 50 minutes each.
Well, we're so TV brand to be like, you only have to binge 18 episodes of a show.
That's it.
This is one I honestly don't know. I haven't started watching, so I don't know if you can just jump into season 3. I would imagine.
I don't think so, based on only watching 1.5 episodes.
Yeah. So we'll see. Whenever I was asking people around the holidays, like, what are you watching? A lot of people said Slow Horses. Really excited for it to come back. People do really like it. And I have to say, there is a couple of ways that you can surefire get me to watch a TV show. And one of them is if a certain individual who's podcasted on this network has said, oh, I like that show. Mm-hmm. And that's one Antonio Mazzaro. I feel like you can't miss on an Antonio Mazzaro like TV recommendation. And Antonio has said in the past, he's liked this show. So I don't know if he's watched season 3 yet or when he's planning to. But I think if you're like, oh, Antonio likes the show, I will watch it. Cause I bet it's pretty good. Yeah.
Yep. So that's what we're covering next week. Of course, if you want to stay subscribed, you could do that at posherrecaps.com/subscribe. See everything we're covering here at Posher Recaps. Of course, we have a Patreon, patreon.com/postshowrecaps, where we also have an ad-free feed. And that's what we got going on. Grace, where can people find you until next week?
Yes. Yeah, so Dr. Mann and I, we did wrap up our episodic coverage of The Curse. We might come back with a bonus feedback show. It was the most wild season finale I've ever seen of a television show. So just saying, you might want to check it out. Fargo's wrapping up this week. So Mike Bloom and LaTanya and I will be chatting about that. Check movies each week. I think Aaron and I are going to try to figure out a time to talk about Mean Girls, the musical. And then True Detective has debuted by the time probably you're listening to this. So Dr. Mann and I got on immediately after for a sort of immediate coverage of the episode. And then you, Jess, and I will be doing a deep dive about the episode. So excited about that. I'm on social media at Hi From Grace.
You could follow me at The Jess Sterling over on Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. Sarah and I are covering Felicity as well as Buffy. We just started Buffy. I've seen 2 episodes and I'm already all in. I'm all in on Buffy. So check out that coverage at Shit 90s Pod on Twitter and Instagram, and me at The Jess Sterling. Thank you all for listening. We will be back next week. And until then, you've been fully spoiled.
You've been fully recapped. Ah.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say,
Your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.